This is the special meeting of the Improvements Committee for May 11th, 2021. Our agenda calls for comments from the public. Does anyone have anything to say this morning? Hearing none, let's move on to reviewing the monthly updates. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Review the update.
So I want to, this is Tom Hennig. I want to introduce Ron Greenfeld, who is currently acting on behalf of our recently departed Director of Field Operations, Paul Stevenson, who's gone on to another job. And so we've asked Ron to step in on a moment's notice and kind of pick up the gavel. And so we're going to give Ron a wide berth here so he can just kind of get used to talking about these things and answer questions. So Ron, you want to just kind of roll through these items? Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So on a sodium hypochlorite conversion project, as it says right there, there's outstanding work to be done still, includes Tesco wiring. There's some time on that right now with some programming that was added, so that will be probably towards the end of May on that part of that. The east and west dissolve air flotation, the DAF painting project. They started that last week. They have this sandblasting completed on the west DAF, and they should begin painting today on that one, and then they'll move over to the east DAF. They're doing one at a time. So, and then on the fire hydrant replacement projects, the one on Puerto and Camino de Lago, that one is completed minus pulling a back T sample, which will be today. There's one hydrant left to do on the 10 fire hydrants to be replaced. And that one will be at Upper Guadalupe at Park 8. So that will be next week. And then the water plant drying bed emergency repair. I think you have a memo in front of you for that.
Mm-hmm. It'll come up later in the packet.
Okay. Okay. That is moving forward. They started last Thursday on that. And they have it cleaned out, the first layer of rock that's supposed to be put in the drying bed, which is AB. And they are installing pipe today and should be installing the gravel as well. And then they'll move on to the sand part of that. The retreats east and north, right there, there's nothing changed since last month, according to what I got from Paul. Let's see. I don't know if there's actually anything moving on any of the development projects except for the Riverview.
I'm gonna interrupt Ron here for a minute. We had a meeting yesterday with one, the developer who owns the retreats east and north, as well as the north development. And the retreats east and north is the review of the water and sewer is being finished up by our former engineering firm Coastland, and then the drainage and the flood reviews is going to be handled by Domenicelli and Associates. And so that's kind of starting to have some activity again. And pretty much the same with North. There's been a handoff of the drainage plan. The drainage plans are back with the developer, and the water and sewer plans are going to be reviewed by Domenicelli and Associates. There are active deposits with both those projects, and so they are starting to move forward. And based on the economy, those things pick up and drop off as the housing market goes up and down. So right now the housing market is up, so they're kind of trying to get those projects going. So sorry to interrupt, Ron, but this was a late yesterday meeting. And then pretty much nothing else with development is going on other than, you know, we have a meeting with the Riverview folks later today and see where they're at with their grading plans. And we'll have more to say about that by the time we get to the board meeting next week.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Let's move on to discussing the water plant drying bed emergency repairs.
Okay, so in the winter months when we're getting rain, there is the backwash from the filters at the drinking water treatment plant. The backwash water goes into the drying beds, filters back through a sand bed, gravel pack, and into drain pipes, and then goes back to the front of the plant to be processed again. Okay, so over the winter months, those tend to hold water because of rain and just no heat. So what happens when they backwash, it comes through there, all the sedimented and stuff that's gathered in there goes on the top of the sand bed. Eventually what it does, it dries up, water percolates out, and it cracks. Well, in the winter months, you can't see that really happen. So what happened was, is all of a sudden, they're starting to bring plant one online, and there's no room for water in the backwash. So that's when we decided to scrape off the layer of sediment, sludge, you might call it. And we found that the sand was compacted, water wasn't draining. We decided we'd pull the sand off of that and replace the sand. We did that. And after we got down to the rock, we found out that the rock was all impacted with sludge and not allowing drainage through that. And to be able to, and then to go a little farther, we dug down by hand through the rock and checked out the pipe. We found the drain pipe that runs through there is a terracotta pipe, which is clay. Several parts of it were cracked. When we pulled out a section of it, the drain holes were plugged up. So it was pretty much, it was done. It lived its life. And as you can see there, it was put in 1974, around that year. And in 89, they built plant two. And when they built plant two, they tied in some more drain lines from plant two, the backwash water into it, but we could not find anywhere where it had any rehab or any work done on it. So we're assuming that none of these drying beds have ever had any work except for the back left one that was extended when plant one was rehabbed. So after finding that out, with the utility staff that we have, they're very busy out in the field with water leaks, customer complaints, meter issues, making sure the sewers are flowing. We could have done the project, but the time that it would take to do it would probably be close to a month, month and a half. So we thought it would be a lot prudent to get this one taken care of as fast as we could, because we can't run both plants with that. And with the summer months coming, we have to have both plants running to supply the water that's needed.
So I see this price we got from M3. They're saying that they anticipate it will require five working days.
Correct.
Have we given them the go-ahead, or are we waiting for approval to spend this.
Randy, this is Tom Hennig. I approved that purchase order under emergency consideration last week. And so they're pretty much getting close to being done out there, aren't they? Aren't they getting ready to start laying down all the new material? They've cleaned it out.
Yeah, so they've got it cleaned out. The bottoms of those are asphalt, so they took care of any asphalt that was damaged or that needed patched. They took care of that. They've got the AB in right now, 9 inches of AB that's compacted. And they are placing the pipe between yesterday and today. And then they will be putting the gravel and the sand in. They should be definitely completed by the end of this week.
They included minimal repairs to that asphalt. Was there any additional work required, or are they happy with what they found?
They're okay with what they found.
Good. Okay.
So what we're doing here is we're just asking permission from the board to retro-authorize me to have approved this purchase order, which is above my authority. So what we're asking you to do today is to approve me to take this forward to the formal board meeting for approval.
Done. I don't think there's any question that you did the right thing. We got to get this thing up and running, and I'm pleased that you took the initiative to go ahead and get them going so that we could get this project done. So good job.
Thank you.
So what's going on?
I do have if I may, sir, I do have a hand raised. Are you ready to take questions?
Sure.
Jim Crowder.
Yes, just one question for you. I'm glad you guys were proactive and took care of this as quick as you did. Going forward, we probably already have it in place. Do we have some type of program where we do a yearly inspection before the summer season on this facility?
On these drying beds, they normally, so if you look at this picture that's up there right now, mm-hmm. and you see the two with the crack areas in it, not the two with the water, but the other two. So what we do is when it gets to a little more than what's there now, they dry up a little more. We go in there with a tractor and we scrape out all that sludge and haul it out here to the wastewater treatment plant. And then it's hauled away in August, September at my outside contractor. So there's usually once or twice a year we do that. And then when we do that, we usually dig down to see how much sand is there. And we try to keep a foot of sand. So if we have to add sand, we add sand. So part of an issue is at one time it looked like they put the wrong sand in. So it's a very specific sand that goes in these. And it's a very expensive sand that goes in these. So at one time it looked like this one had the wrong sand put in. So that's normally what the maintenance is. We usually don't dig down to the gravel and check the pipe or anything like that. It's just removing the sludge off the top, checking the sand and the sand layer.
Okay.
So Jim, to answer your question, these have not been fully maintained for a number of years. So over the next 3 years, we have to go through all those drying beds and put them on a better schedule to make sure that they function correctly. Currently, the back left drying bed, for which we spent a lot of time in the past few months rehabbing, it is not functioning correctly. So we're going to have to go back into that one and correct our work. And then we want to make sure that the front left and the front right are both functioning correctly, but we don't want to do it all at once. We want to kind of stage these things. So every few years we do one of them. And I've been working with Ron on the right way to handle that. But in the short term, with all the water starting to be pulled from the plant because people are watering their yards, we need to make sure that the back left one is working properly after spending all that time on it earlier in the year. And then the front left and the front right, we're gonna patch them up so that they work as good as they can. And probably next year, we'll turn them into projects and get them done correctly.
Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Good job.
Amelia, any other hands raised?
No, no more chats, no more hands raised.
All right, let's move on to discussing Basin 5.
Hey, Basin, is that mine?
Whichever.
Go ahead, Ron, can you handle this?
Sure.
Okay.
So Basin 5, as it says, is a detention basin for rainwater runoff. So irrigation, sprinklers, rain, whatever comes down the gutter, goes into this basin. If you look in your packet, was designed just as that, and originally was planted with vegetation around it to take care of nutrients. The biggest issue right now that people see out there is the waterfern that grows out there. It's green at some times of the year, turns red at some other towards the fall. And at this time, it's pretty green out there, but if you just skim off the top of that green just a little bit, I mean, it's very thin. That water's as clear as can be. Looks just like one of the lakes up on the top of the hill. We maintain the aeration out there as a district. Last year we replaced one of the air compressors that run one of the aerations. The picture on the left bottom there are the aeration pods. Those are looped tubes that the air comes through, which is kind of depicted on the right side there. And so we replaced one of the compressors last year that went out. This year we had another compressor fail we replaced. It talks about in there where it's run after the water temperature is 64 degrees. We haven't been checking that. First I seen that was in this memo.
Okay.
I can tell you they're on a timer and they've been running year round. So we're that 64 degrees, we're meeting that and then some. About 4 to 5 years ago, we replaced all the air pods in there. So we have maintained the aeration system in there to make sure it is always working. We go by there about once every couple of weeks, just to take a look, make sure we see the bubblers coming up, and they're aerating from about 9 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, till about 7 o'clock at night. So RMA is taking care of the fountain. Last year, the fountain didn't work at all. It burned up. I'm not sure. I know they were working on replacing that fountain. I don't know if they have yet or not. They did have a new pump on order to run that fountain. So that should be in place fairly soon if it's not yet.
And this has just been a piece of discussion that's been coming around lately with the summer hitting and people looking at the top of Lost Lake and being concerned that it's going to become smelly and that it's not operating correctly. And as far as we're concerned, it's operating as designed. It catches the water and it processes it. And it if it wasn't for the moss on top of it, it'd be perfectly fine. But it's operating correctly.
It's just a what's the word?
Aesthetic.
Yeah, aesthetic look that shows that green there that people don't like. But if you look where the aerators are, that water is just a nice, deep blue color kind of thing. So it's a very deep lake. I've been over there several times. I've never noticed an odor. Vector Control maintains a couple of mosquito midge fly stations over there that are functioning now. I've never noticed a big mosquito issue. I've never been over there in the evening hours, though. So I think we're on track as it's good. The other thing we've done is we keep the weed control down, cut down and keep that cleaned up for the fences and yards that back up to that, so they don't have to look at a fire hazard or just big, tall, dry grass.
And it's important to note that Lost Lake is deep. So because it's deep, it doesn't have the same problem with the midge flies that they have over at Laguna Joaquin.
Correct.
So that's what we just thought. It's been a discussion lately, so we thought we'd talk about it at today's improvements meeting. Just more of a less of a talk about it. If there are any questions or any thoughts, we would react.
So the... So we pay 50% of the power each month for the fountain operation, although it's kind of confusing how this is written, but I guess that's the case. Did I hear you to say that the fountain wasn't operating all of last year?
Correct.
Do we know what their intent is as far as getting
it back? It is supposed to be replaced this year at the first. Well, like I said, they had one on order, the last I heard. Paul told me that verbally. I will get with Rod to find out where they're at on that after this meeting.
You think maybe having the fountain move the surface water might take care of a little bit of that green look on the top, maybe?
The fountain running, the aeration running helps take care of it as far as pushing it away. It doesn't really stop the growth in it, but it helps beat it down into the water and then allows to go to the edge, allows the growth to go to the edges. So you see more lake instead of more green.
Yeah, I guess that's where I was going with it. If it's just about the aesthetics, if the fountain... fountain moves the green stuff to the edges and the lake looks blue. I think that's probably what we're after, huh?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's just an aesthetic thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Any hands raised, Amelia?
I have no hands raised. I have no chats.
Okay. Then let's move on to reviewing the capital projects, please.
Okay, this is Tom. I'll handle this one. What we've discovered is, as we've moved through the budget process this fiscal year and the focus that we've put onto the reserve balances, is we've discovered that the district's accounting processes in the past have been, and our projects, how we push our capital projects forward is, we approve projects and then they just kind of sit dormant until we want to do them. And so in switching auditors, we've come across a situation, and I thought we were going to find something like this, whereby we've approved probably more projects than we have money for. And the other thing what we have is, you know, projects that were approved 10 years ago that are just still sitting on the book. So the new auditor is pushing us in the right direction, which is proper accounting for our reserve funded projects. And so what we want to do is we want to go through the list of projects that have been approved in previous years and just unapprove them and take them off the list of things that we're going to do this fiscal year, possibly next fiscal year. So when we look at our reserve balances, we know what we've committed, we know what we have available. And when we do something like try to increase the reserve contributions because we know we don't have enough in there, that we can do a better job of explaining it. Just a couple examples on there. We have, last year we purchased a new tractor. That tractor was approved as a capital improvement, capital replacement project in 2007, and it was just never purchased. It was again approved in 2018, which prompted us to go through the purchasing process last fiscal year. So I just want to let you know, Randy, and Martin, that our objective is to go through our capital projects, the list, to defund or cancel the ones that are not going to be done anytime soon, and to focus on the projects that have a reasonableness of being completed in this fiscal year or next fiscal year, and then to be able to look at the numbers and know where our balances are, and to be able to defend in a much clearer fashion why we need to raise our reserve contributions this year, next year, and kind of get a much better idea of where we are over the next 5 to 15 years on what capital replacement projects, what capital improvement projects that we're going to advocate for and that we're going to do. To accomplish this, we are going to propose that we have a special board meeting in the first week of June, because we don't have enough meetings as it is, but a special board meeting to focus entirely on the reserves. We feel like we're in a position in the next couple of weeks to be able to do that and to come to the board with a detailed discussion on where we're at with reserves, where we want to be with reserves and the projects, and how we're going to get there. And probably I should go to number 8. Look how 8 is bigger. I should go to number 8 and talk about that. I've reached out to the village and asked them to let us know when it is that they want us to go into their development and rip up the roads and replace the water delivery system, which is currently a spaghetti system of pipes that go under the homes, and some of them are not marked correctly. So we need to go in there and trench the road, put in proper water meter boxes, and have the water connections go correctly from the sidewalk or from the street to where the water goes into those units. So I thought it would be helpful to have a discussion in this committee meeting and to see if you're in support of us holding a special meeting the first week of June to talk about reserve projects. And with that being said, I'm open to questions and discussions.
So did you say that you had met with the Murrieta Village, or you're going to?
I spoke with Barb probably 3 times in the last month, but I got real specific with her last week, because it's becoming obvious that we need to have this meeting and to really get a better grasp on how we're going to handle capital replacement, capital improvement projects. I believe their board meeting was last night. I'm kind of checking my email to see what she's come up with, but I haven't seen anything so far today. So I'm going to check back in with her, but I will have that answer by the end of the week, I'm sure.
Okay. What is the magnitude of this? When you say the auditors found all these old projects that were never built, I see where this one is 900,000. Are there several large ones or a bunch of small ones that add up to a lot, or what's the magnitude here?
I'm going to ask Paula O'Keefe to chime in, because she's got a better idea on the details right now.
Hi, Randy. So right now, as it stands, we have 22 active CIPs that are from prior years. The oldest one is from 2005, 2006. And the total of all of these projects is 2.5 million. So that's not considering the 2021 projects that we still haven't completed, or the proposed projects that we're going to be bringing forward in 21-22. So if we were to continue carrying these projects over and over, at some point they either become obsolete, they become wrapped up in another project, or they become so expensive that we're not able to afford them and we'll have to piece them out again. So at this point right now, we're sitting on about 2.5 million.
Okay. So Is this on the Finance Committee agenda also?
That's a challenging question. I forget.
See, it's in with it part is. Of the budget. I mean, yes. we'll introduce the CIP when we talk about the budget.
Yes. We're going to say yes to that.
Okay. All right. I think that I've been pushing for this standalone board, special board meeting to go over the reserve study, because I think it's important that all of the board members totally understand this reserve budget, so that we make the right decisions going forward as far as funding it. I'm all in favor of setting up a special board meeting. I know time is precious and all of this takes time, but I believe that the whole reserve thing should be high on our priority list. So that's my opinion of it. That having been said, Amelia, any hands raised on this topic?
No hands, no chat.
All right. So let's go back to discussing options for using asphalt grindings.
Okay, so this is Tom. And speaking with Rod Hart at the RMA, they believe they're going to be doing quite a bit of work this year on roads, which results in piles and piles of asphalt grindings. In a couple of years ago, just to remind everyone, we put a bunch of this asphalt grinding down on the road down to the water treatment plant on Chesbrough. And we had one of our citizens wanted to have a bunch of questions answered about that, which we were able to do. I actually walked up there. We walked the road with this gentleman. I walked the road with this gentleman. We talked about everything that was there. And so because we had that one discussion, we kind of backed off on using asphalt grindings last year, and they all got hauled away to the ranches to the west, where they put it down on their roads. These asphalt grindings, when they get on the dirt roads, they basically eliminate dust, which is a real problem around here, when, especially during the summer, and the folks who decide they want to go racing around on the dirt roads, creates a lot of dust. So I wanted to make sure that we didn't lose this opportunity this year to be able to go down on some of our roads and some of our dirt roads and utilize the asphalt grindings to help keep the dust down, to help keep the roads in better condition, and so on and so forth. But I didn't want to just start spreading the asphalt around without having some transparency. And this is why we're doing what we're doing. It is interesting, if you go and you look at the asphalt grindings, you'll notice that there's little cables in there. And the cables are from the Greenfield cable lines that were put into many of the roads in the north, where they create these little trenches and they stuff the little cable down there, rather than correctly installing electrical cable, you know, 18 inches down and so on and so forth. So Greenfield is slowly going through the process of installing their cable lines correctly. But when they grind up the roads, you end up with these pieces of coax cable in the waste. So just to let you know, Randy and Martin, our goal is to take advantage of the free asphalt grindings from the RMA and to put them onto our dirt roads so that they perform better and they last longer without needing to be regraded and stuff. Ron, do you have any comments?
Well, like Tom was talking about the road that goes down to the water treatment plant around Chesbrough there. We did that, and we didn't do it all the way. We did a lot of areas of it, and that could use more because there's a lot of foot traffic, and there's also guys from the district that are going back and forth. And it doesn't matter how slow you drive. If you're driving a truck that's got dual wheels on the back, it just stirs up dust bad. And, you know, they crawl as slow as they can around people, but it would definitely create a peace between the walkers and the drivers. So, and then we have several areas around here, around the wastewater plant, dirt roads that we could use that on as well.
So, and then when we put it down, we make sure that it's, there's no drainage issues whereby the asphalt is finding its way into the drinking water.
Correct. And the other thing too, if you've been up to the top of between Calero and Chesbro, that was all grindings. And when you put it in there in the summertime, when it's fresh grindings, it actually will heat up and bond together and be kind of like just asphalt itself. So it is a timing thing to get it out there too, that helps.
And I wanted to mention something. This is Amelia. Marty's not on the call today.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you keep talking to Martin, but Martin Pohl is not joining us today. Randy Janko is our only director.
Well, he's with us in spirit. I know he's sitting on that beach somewhere
thinking about us.
Thinking about asphalt grindings and,
and sludge
projects. I'm sure that's on the top of his... So back to these asphalt grindings, do we know how much they're going to have and how far it will go, and do we have, it sounds like we have a priority list. Our priority is to get that one road done, if we can get it done. Any idea on how much they're going to have and how much we can get done?
I got to say, no, I don't have an idea, although he did say he was going to have a lot. So in 12 months, I can answer that question better.
All right. Well, we bet we should be prepared for, and Rod can tell you how many square feet you'll get out of whatever it is that he's going to make available. And so we should be prepared on where we want to put it and how far it's going to go, and if there's any additional, where a good place to put it would be.
Yeah, Ron and I will work on setting up the priorities for the where the grindings will go, and we'll see how far they go.
Great.
I do have a hand raised if you're ready for questions.
Sure.
Jim Crowder.
Yes. Tom, you did mention about taking steps, or you're going in that direction on how CSD, they try to make sure that these grindings don't contaminate the storm water. So, and I know exactly how much dust gets stirred up on that road going to the water treatment plant, because I'm the closest house to the road next to one of my neighbors. So can you give a little bit more information on what steps we do take to make sure when there, and in a normal year, when we do get some rain, that those oils don't end up in Chesbro?
I can get you that answer. When Paul was here, he told me that we took the proper steps to ensure that the drainage was not an issue, but I'm not expert enough at this point in time to answer the question, but we have it on a list of things to talk about next time we have a committee meeting.
Okay, because I just remember from walking, I walk there all the time, and visually I didn't see anything different other than a lot less dust being stirred up, but I just couldn't see, and I wasn't that person you walked around explaining things to, when you did last year or whenever you did do that. I would like to know that.
Okay.
Tom, it might be a good idea. Just, you can Google asphalt grindings and you'll come up with all kinds of studies that show where it's used and how it's used. And that oil, once it's laid down, that oil's not going anywhere. And that might also be a good subject for the pipeline. Because I know it's a lot of people are confused about asphalt grindings and what happens to them if they're rained on and so on and so forth. But there are hundreds of studies that have been done on laid down asphalt grindings. that it basically that oil's not going anywhere, and it would be a good thing to get that out so people understand it.
I agree with you on that 100%. Get it in the pipeline, be proactive. We're in a drought anyway, but it's good to get that information out ahead of time.
We all do.
Amelia, any other hands raised?
No hands, no chats.
Director and staff comments. We'll start with staff. Staff, any comments, questions, suggestions?
I miss Paul already, but I'm really happy Ron's here, and I wish Paul all the best. He was here for many years, and really put the district in a good position going into the future. So congratulations to Paul, and hang in there, Ron. Those are my comments. Thank you.
All right. My comments are very similar. I think Paul left us in a great place. You know, he did a lot of documentation. So there's a lot of information going forward that Paul didn't have when he stepped in. So great job, Paul. And Ron, very good for your first public speaking opportunity. I thought you explained everything very well, and your comments were well taken. So good on you.
Thank you.
Anything else from anyone?
Not over here.
Great.
You know, the last thing I want to say is I thank you for changing these meetings from last week to this week. It allowed me to go on a much needed vacation.
Yeah, well, you know, Martin probably thanks us too, because he's, I'm sure, wherever he's at on whatever beach, he's probably thinking, I'm glad I'm not thinking about asphalt grindings right now. All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.